ye are the light of the world.
Bring keep your lamps all burning bright, for ye are the light of the world.
We're happy to see your presence this morning. We have a beautiful Lord's Day, and it's good to see that everyone is back from their trips. And Sister Kathy is still away from us, but we miss her. This being 9/11, remembering 10 years ago, those planes flying into the buildings, and about 3,000 people, they say, died as a result of that. I doubt if any one of those 3,000 expected to die that day. And so this should teach us to always be ready and prepared to meet God and meet the judgment day. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow. So we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for the Lord, for his coming, and for death. We'd like to study this morning on the subject, the Christian home, continue a series of lessons. We'd like the second lesson, the duties of a husband. And as I studied this lesson, it helped me to realize that there's times that I fall short in being maybe the husband that I should be. I don't compliment my wife like I should, and I don't show the affection maybe sometimes that I should. So we need to be careful and be a good person, and especially as a husband. Our previous lesson, we studied that marriage is a sacred institution, instituted by God in the beginning. God created Adam. He saw that it was not good for man to be alone, so he caused Adam to sleep and took a rib from his side and created Eve to be a helpmeet. One husband and one wife. And this was regulated by Jesus, that is marriage today, by Jesus and his apostles, in the Word of God. God tells us how he wants to live, us to live in this life as a husband, a wife, or children. Yes, it is reserved for sexual enmity between the husband and the wife. Marriage is a successful institution when we follow the Bible teaching on marriage. If we're careful to follow the scriptures, we obey God and do what he tells us to do, then we will have a happy marriage, a good home. When members of the family fulfill their proper roles as the husband, the wife, and the children, as we fulfill those roles, we can have a good home, a good happy marriage. At this time, let's consider the duties of the husband. The Bible tells us that husbands are to love their wives. Love your wife. Continue to love your wife as long as you both shall live. As Christ loved the church, we can see how much Jesus loved the church, what great love that he had. Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And so we can see how much Jesus loved the church. He gave himself for the church. He laid down his life. He purchased the church with his own blood. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Husbands, love your wives as Jesus loved the church. There's no greater love than this. In verse 29, he says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it just as the Lord does the church." And so the Lord loves the church so much that he laid down his life for her. Husband is to love his wife as he loves his own body. Love our wife as we love ourselves. Yes, we nourish, we cherish our own bodies. We take care of ourselves. We should love our wife as we love ourselves. We handle our bodies with care. Ephesians 5, 28 and 29. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth just as the Lord does the church. And so husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. We know that we take care of ourselves. We love ourselves. Also, we should be free from bitterness. Let's not be bitter toward our wife. In Colossians 3, verse 19, husbands, love your wives. Do not be bitter toward them. And so let's not be angry. Let's not have bitter feelings toward our wives, but love our wives. The husband is not to be bitter, that is, resentful, or have hatred toward his wife. A lot of men are bitter toward their wives. They're resentful, they're hateful, they're mean. They abuse their wives in many different ways. Bitterness is often accompanied with wrath and anger and evil speaking. These things all go along together. Ephesians 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so let's not be bitter toward our wife. Let's love our wife and treat her as she deserves to be treated. Husbands are to love their wives with agape love. That is active goodwill toward your wife. Yes, this is commanded love. God has commanded us, a husband, to love his wife. It's a commandment of God. Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And so God has commanded us to love our wife, to continue to love our wife, as long as we live. We know that love is defined here in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. This is how we're to love our wife. Yes, he says, love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And so this is how God has commanded us to love our wife. It never fails. It never ceases. We're to have this love toward God also and toward man. This is love that God has commanded us. But also the husband is to love, or filio, he love his wife. And this love means sentimental, affectionate, or feelings that we have toward our wife, our emotions and our feelings that we have toward our wife. As one would have love for his own body, Ephesians 5, 29, no one ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it just as the Lord does the church. As parents love their children, yes, we have affection for our children. We love our children. We care for our children. We take care of them. Ephesians 6 and 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherisheth her own children. And so this love is affection and feelings, like we have for ourselves or for our children, we have for our wife. Love is not enough, it was written, to make a marriage work by Don Whitehead. Notice what he says here, this love, agape love, that is feelings or affection. Love is not enough to make a marriage work. That is, romantic love, as defined by modern society, means a feeling, a good feeling of warmth and passion. That feeling of love, as with other feelings, does not last forever. Soon after marriage, the couple realizes that they do not always love each other that way. There are even some occasions when they're very angry with each other. There are other ingredients that must be present for a marriage to continue and be fulfilling. There must be commitment to one another. There must be compatibility. There must be concern for one another. Communication for a happy marriage. And so agape love, which is feelings or affections, sometimes we get angry and upset maybe with your wife or your husband. And so we're commanded, though, to love one another, regardless of what might happen in our life. Also, the husband is a love with eros or love, sexual love, joining together as one flesh. A man and woman, they're joined together in marriage, and they become one flesh. Ephesians 5:31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. And so we see how close a man and woman become as one person. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 2 through 5. He says, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. Likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And so we notice here, the husband is to render to his wife the affection that is due her. Both are to render to one another that affection, that love that's due them. Yes, we are to be faithful to one another. Also, husbands are to respect their wives. And we respect our wives by how we treat our wives with understanding. Understanding them. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. That is, in an understanding way. Be considerate of your wife. Be considerate of their feelings. Learn what makes her tick, so to speak, and treat her accordingly. Husband, treat your wife with honor. Honor your wife. Respect your wife. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And so give honor to your wife. Honor her. Praise her. Praise her at the gates. In Proverbs 31 and verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And so this is something that we should do. It's something I lack sometimes in praising my wife for all that she does. I don't know if I could make it if I didn't have her. But she does so much, and we should praise our wife. Put her on a pedestal. Do not ridicule her publicly. Husband, treat your wife as to the weaker vessel. In 1 Peter 3 and 7 says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Not that your wife may actually be the weaker vessel. Many wives are spiritually stronger and some physically stronger maybe than their husband. But treat her as a weaker vessel. Treat her like china, not steel. Be kind and be gentle with your wife. Many husbands abuse their wives. They beat their wives and mistreat them, especially when they're drinking alcohol. How the husband is to view his wife as a fellow heir of the grace of life. That is, in 1 Peter 3 and 7 says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. And so the husband and wife, as Christians, were both heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. were both children of God. Christ died for both, the husband and the wife. She is a beloved sister in Christ, worthy of respect. And so think of her as being a fellow heir of the grace of life, with whom you hope to be with in eternity. And so Christian husband and wife living together, being faithful to God, are hoping to go home together to heaven for eternity. Your wife has an effect on your prayers. And 1 Peter 3:7 says that your prayers may not be hindered. And so if we don't treat our wife with love and respect and honor like we should, then that will hinder our prayers to God. We're not obeying God when we fail to love our wives and treat her with the love and respect that we should. How we treat others has a bearing on our prayers. In Mark 11, verse 26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." And so we need to be careful how we treat our wife. God will not heed our prayers if we mistreat our wives. We have an example back in the Old Testament how that there were some that were dealing with their wives treacherously, and God is rebuking them for that. In Malachi 2, verse 13 beginning, "This is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore take heed to your spirit. Let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously." And so here's an example. God would not accept them because they were not treating their wife as they should have, the wife of their youth. There was a covenant between the husband and the wife. Husbands, support your wives by providing for your family. The husband and father has the duty to provide for his family. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith as worse than an infidel or an unbeliever." Failure to do so is to deny the faith. A man should not marry unless he is willing and able to support her financially. Also support your wife by letting her contribute to the marriage, to the family. The virtuous woman contributed much to the support of the family. We read back in Proverbs chapter 31. The virtuous woman says she considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff. Her hands hold the spindle. In verse 24 says she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. And so here the husband is to support his wife and she contributes to the family. A wise husband lets her contribute and be praised for it. In Proverbs 31, verse 31, "Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates." Yes, her works, all that she does, she deserves praise. Of course, not to neglect of her family duties. In Proverbs 31 and verse 21, "She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet." That is, she makes sure that there is clothing for her family when it's cold. In verse 27 says she watches over the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 14, Paul writing to Timothy concerning the young widows, "I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house. Give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Titus 2, verse 4 and 5, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. The Ten Commandments of Husbands. You should not take your wife for granted, but respect her as your equal. Your highest allegiance, except God, shall be to your wife. You shall frequently tell her how important and valuable she is to you. You shall hold your wife's love by the same means that you want it. You shall actively establish family discipline with your wife's help. Remember to do all the little things for your wife when you say that you will. Keep your eyes on your own wife, not your neighbor's. You shall make every effort to keep things from your wife's point of view. See things from your wife's point of view. You shall not fail to kiss your wife every day. You shall not be stingy with your wife when it comes to money. And so these are wise words, Ten Commandments for the husband. When did you last tell your wife, I love you? When did she last hear these words that are music to her ears? I really do need you. Have you recently told her, honey, I think that you're a really good mother for our children? The vast majority of wives are starving for verbal affirmation and from their husbands. Most men are so thoughtless and insensitive that they will not give their wives what the wives desperately want and deserve. We husbands gladly encourage our wives to buy food and grudgingly encourage them to buy clothes. But most who come to counseling just cannot dig deeply enough to give complimentary words. So marriages are unfulfilling. Wives feel unappreciated. Many marriages wither and die. Husbands, speak up. God expects you as the head to do more than provide financially for your wife. He wants you to also provide for her emotional well-being. Whisper it, write it, or shout it. Just get those words of affirmation to the ears of your wife. In conclusion, the Christian husband is a man who loves his wife in every way. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Respect his wife by how he treats her. Support his wife financially, emotionally, and spiritually. This is because the Christian husband is a man who is a Christian first and a husband second. Gladly accepts responsibilities given him as a husband. Looks to God for strength he needs to fulfill his duty. When a man is a Christian husband, he's more likely loved and respected by his wife. She's more likely to be the wife that she should be. The children are more likely to be as they should be. Yes, as Christian husbands, we should love our wife and honor our wife, respect them in the way that God commands us to. A man that is faithful to his wife is not going to be cheating on his wife. We know that many husbands today are cheating on their wives. They say, well, I don't love them anymore. Well, God has commanded us to love our wife. It's more than feelings and affection. It's a commandment of God. Continue to love your wives as long as you live. And if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like those 3,000 that died, 9/11, you don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when Jesus is coming again. And if you're not prepared for the judgment, then you'll be cast into that lake of fire. To become a Christian, you must hear the word of God. You must believe and have faith in God. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You reach the blood of Christ in baptism. And when you're baptized, the Lord adds you to his church, his body. And then be faithful. Live the Christian life and heaven will be your home. If you're any way subject to the invitation, why don't you come now while we stand and sing the song?